So this morning, we are continuing our series of looking at coming to Christ and how different people within the Bible come to Christ in different ways, and also some of the people that support them as they do so. So this morning, and I was panicking there, thinking I'm going to have to rewrite my message when Di started on another chapter. This morning we're looking at Timothy and who he was. What we know about Timothy is we know from Paul's letters to Timothy, which obviously are called 1 and 2 Timothy, that his mother Eunice was a Jewish Christian, as was his grandmother Lois, and that his father was a Greek. And he lived in Lystra, and that people there and in Iconium, as Paul entered those places, people were mentioning the name of Timothy. So Timothy has got a reputation. We've all got reputation, but Timothy's is a good one. And he Paul hears of what's been happening in his life. And what's interesting is it's not a question of, well, his mum and his grandma are Christians, so that makes him a good guy. When I was growing up, and I was smaller, honestly, there was a time I was smaller, I used to get dragged to our local Anglican church every Sunday morning by my mum and, more often than not, my nana, who was shorter than 4 feet, but about 4 feet tall, but nobody ever said no to nana. And I used to get dragged there, and often there'd be me, my nana, my mum, a couple of other people, and the vicar. And being the only young person at the 8 a.m. service, I got asked to be an altar boy. And so I suddenly thought, I must be really holy. Because I got a white robe, I looked like something out of Star Wars, and I was actually taking part in the service, and my mum and my nana were keen members of the church. And then one day I realized that actually it's not about other generations and the wider members, how much your family are involved. It actually is about where you are at in your relationship with Jesus and where you stand before him. Doesn't matter how much your mum or your nana do in relationship to the church and what their beliefs are. What's important is, what do you yourself actually believe? Where do you stand in your relationship with Jesus? And Paul sees potential in Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And Paul, as he sees this young man, sees God at work in him. He's heard the reputation, but he sees something in him to the point that he puts his hands on him and he prays over him. And as you read through the passages in 1 and 2 Timothy, what you pick up as well is that he actually prophesies over this young man. Think back to when we heard about Saul, who became Paul, that actually Ananias laid his hands on him. And now he is laying his hands on Timothy, doing exactly the same thing as had been done to him. So he sees that Timothy has got potential, that God's already at work, and he makes it his commitment to help develop this young man. But then he does something that every time I've read it in the past, I've not understood why he does this. Paul then circumcises Timothy. Now, for those of you that may not know, circumcision was a sign of the covenant or promise relationship between God and his people. That the chosen nation of Israel, the men in that nation, got circumcised to show they were part of God's people. That this was a promise between him and all generations. But then we see that Jesus Christ comes, who Paul himself says there is no longer any need for circumcision, because we are now, through Christ and his death on the cross, circumcised in our hearts. The promise and the covenant is in here. There's no need for that outward sign anymore, because people will see the difference. So why then does he do this to Timothy? Isn't that a backward step? The problem was, there were many Jews who, if they heard that Timothy was not a fully Jew and circumcised, wouldn't even begin to entertain listening to him, wouldn't even consider allowing him into their meetings. So Paul's doing this to say, let nothing stand between you and speaking to the people, your fellow Jews, that nothing should be a stumbling block to those people. And so I believe that's why Paul does that to Timothy. But what's of greater importance is actually Paul's relationship with Timothy. And in many ways, it's like Paul himself likens it to the way a father and a son work together. That it's a combined effort. And, you know, time and again, I keep trying to teach my sons and get them involved in jobs around the house and other bits and pieces and fixing bikes and things like that. And what I'm doing as I'm doing that is I'm trying to remember what my dad taught me. And my dad was the sort of guy, if he saw you weren't doing it properly, he'd just get on and do it himself. What Paul's trying to do is show that this is a relationship and a working together, and that this relationship is so close. To help illustrate their relationship, I'm going to show you a clip now from the new series done by Sir David Attenborough, which is called The Hunt. It's a new nature series, and this is from this last week's episode, and is about a guillemots that are sitting on a cliff, and a baby chick is about to take its first flight. I love that, partly because chicks bounce. But it's that, what I wanted to get across is, for me, having watched that, that is very much like the relationship that Paul had with Timothy. In that as Timothy's starting on his ministry, he stood at the edge as a young Christian, and he's waddling about on his feet a bit, and he's knowing that God's doing something in his life, and he's built a good reputation, but Paul sees there's more that God wants to do in him. And so he encourages him and maybe gives him a bit of a push to help him soar. But as he goes on that flight, Paul constantly is nudging him. When you read 1 and 2 Timothy, and I encourage you to read them as if it's a father writing to his son, helping him on his way to reach the goal which Paul constantly says is Jesus Christ in all things, in every situation. And as we saw that many of them make it safely because the parents are coming and flying alongside them and giving them a nudge to keep them on the right path. And the sad thing is, many do fall short. And it happens in our churches as well, that time and again, when people make that step of commitment in Jesus, too often that they can be left on the sidelines or left on their own without anyone to draw alongside them and encourage them and equip them. Paul says of Timothy that there's no one else like him. His heart and his soul is purely for Jesus Christ. That in all that he says and does, he hasn't got any other agenda but the making Jesus known. And he constantly serves and pours himself into the church. And time and again, for 15 years, Paul writes to him. He prays for him. He names him as a co-writer of his letters to different churches. And he just gives thanks for Timothy time and time again. If there's one thing I want you to take away, is that none of us should take this flight of Christian life alone. Each and every one of us need to have people that are our spiritual mothers and fathers, but also that we can be spiritual mothers and fathers to others who maybe are stepping out and starting this Christian journey for themselves. I want to just do a simple illustration with you. And if you were at the home group leaders breakfast recently, I apologize. You're going to hear some of this stuff again. But I believe this is so important that we actually understand where we fit in terms of our relationships one with another, but also with Jesus Christ. So this simple illustration simply works out like this. Imagine there is you this morning. It shouldn't be difficult. You are sitting there this morning. You can hopefully hear my voice. You are here. And you have your life. I guarantee there are people who have invested heavily into you, so that who you are now is a result of what people have given to you. Whether it's physically or spiritually, you are here today because someone else has invested in you. So the first thing for us to think about this morning, who is it that has actually invested in us? Can we just click the next slide, the next part of the slide, Lynn? There are people who have prayed for you, encouraged you, done things for you. It may be your parents, your grandparents. I am so thankful for my mum and dad. And for my nana, my dad didn't believe in the church for many years. And it was only towards the end of his days that he started to openly talk to me about Christianity and what I was doing. And he couldn't believe that one of his sons was, as he called it, a vicar. But I also know as I made that step, I had been encouraged by people in this church. When I first started out in here, doing what I'm doing now, I realized there was a huge number of people from within this church and outside this church that had been praying for me, that had considered me as an important priority for them. Just to name two of them, one was Jim Etherington, who the first time I went to see him, he said, "I've always had my eye on you." And I'm thinking, oh, heck. Because my grandfather had worked on his family farm. He said, "And I've always been praying for you." Wow. Wow. Another, some of you will know, a very small man with snowy white hair, who sadly has also gone to be with the Lord, Gordon Carling. Small in stature, but great in his spiritual wisdom, who without fail for a season would hunt me out, which wasn't that difficult, obviously, at the end of a service, would come up to me, grab me by the hand and say, "Good to see you. How are you?" And you do the usual patter, "Oh, I'm fine, how are you?" And he wouldn't let go of my hand. "How are you?" "I'm all right. Come and see me for coffee this week." You would not refuse Gordon his coffee during the week. And when you go to meet with him, it was as if you had a hotline to God. His face glowed with the love and compassion of God. And when you'd come away from that, you knew you had been blessed. And there are many more I could mention. And you've probably got people like Jim and Gordon in your life. When was the last time you said thank you? Either thank you to God that they're now with him and for what they invested in you, or thank you to them directly because they are still making an impact on your life. Nudging you when you needed nudging to keep you on the right path. But then also we stand with other people. You are all sat next to somebody else this morning. We stand shoulder to shoulder with people who are going through things that we are going through, that are facing the same life issues that we face today. There are people that you can probably think of right now that whatever the situation, if you contacted them, they would be there for you. That is why in this church, home groups are so important. Because it's when we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, when we face those issues together, when we pray for each other, when we worship together, God does something. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm there. Jesus is here with us this morning. Have you thanked those people who you know stand with you? Do those people know that you're standing with them? But then here's the real challenge. Because each and every one of us can be people who are investing in the lives of others. Who we can be helping those who are younger in their Christian walk than us. People who maybe are asking questions. People that need our prayers. Who is it that you are investing in? Maybe as you're sitting there now, God is placing one or two names on your heart. Can I encourage you to pray through that and just to go up to that person and say, can I pray for you this week? And start inputting into others. Because we live in a world that is too easy to just think that the world revolves around me. And what do I get out of this? When the real blessing comes out of what we invest into other people. It doesn't matter who you are today, there is someone that you can invest in. And many of us are blessed with children. And yes, children are a blessing, whatever age they may be. And I know sometimes they can be a pain in the neck as well. But for some of us, it might be that we find spiritual children that we can actually fly with them. And keep them on the goal that we're all heading for, which is Jesus Christ. But it's important to know you are doing it and the aim or what the goal is and why you're doing it. And Paul constantly, as he writes to Timothy, every single time says, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Whatever you say and do, it's for him. Time and again, like the adult Guillemot, he's nudging him on the way. And there are the times when Timothy and other brothers and sisters in Christ in those early churches are facing persecution. The enemy's coming in. And Paul says, I'm standing right there with you. So that they would know that they are not on their own. So I want you to know today, you are here today for a reason. It may be that your role is to be one who needs to invest in others, as Paul did with Timothy, to actually consider being a spiritual parent to somebody else, helping someone else in their journey. Or it may be that someone has gently nudged you here this morning because they want you to meet with Jesus, to reset your goal to be him. And you might be sitting there this morning and thinking, that's a big first step to make. Like that baby chick, Guillemot, standing on the edge. And as David Attenborough said, this is the biggest day. And that might be what today is for you. That you actually consider taking that first step. We will never push you off the edge. But we will certainly fly alongside you and guide you to make sure that you reach the goal, which is Jesus Christ. And so for you this morning, the first step might be to say the prayer that we've been using through this series, or to recommit yourself to that this morning, or to commit to pray that into someone else's life and allow God to work through you that you might invest in others. So let's just take a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, I know you love me and that your death on the cross meant you took the punishment for sin that I deserve. Please forgive me and clean me from all my guilt and shame. I confess you as Lord of my life. Please receive me as a child of God and fill me with this life-changing presence of your Spirit. Amen. If that's been your prayer this morning, just to say that we to help you on your way, is we've got some Bible study notes for new Christians, Every Day with Jesus, that we'd love to give you. We've also got a Bible that we'd love to give you as well, but please do come and let us know, either myself, a member of the welcome team, or one of the members of the prayer team. Or maybe God's placing somebody on your heart this morning and you want to pray with somebody about how you make that first step in helping, guiding and nudging somebody else on. Please do come and sit at the front or catch a member of the prayer team with a lanyard on. But remember, there are people who have invested in you and that you can invest in other lives as well. God bless you.